Hi, my name is Kiana Monroe, and you are listening to Cut to the Chase with Gregory Proctor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase. This is your host, Gregory Proctor. Today, we'll be talking about episode 13, The Qualities of Success. The Qualities of Success, as it involves empathy, compassion, patience, mental and emotional stability. Today, as we look at our special guest, we find that she left NBC to start a nonprofit. She had no idea what she was doing. She did a lot of footwork just to build her credibility and almost went bankrupt. She invested her own money and dreams so that she could basically find the support that she needed in the early stages of developing her nonprofit. She had an answer to a problem that was not even solved yet. As the CEO and founder of Pretty and Me nonprofit organization, she is also a news media program director. She's a freelance journalist at ESPN. She's an alumni of Spelman College and USC. She's been recognized as a woman with high level of positive influence by the United States Congress. She's a certified neurolinguist, programmed and cognitive behavior therapist. She's a published child book author. She has worked with countless organizations such as Black Businesswomen Rock, the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, and the list just goes on and on and on. And I think one of the things that's most important to our listeners is that she is also a mother. So overall, to our listeners, she's passionate about supporting the next generation of young women and is honored to teach, guide, and support and assist them with the use of her own personal and professional advice as they embark on their future. Currently, she's working with the schools in Los Angeles to unify districts. Kiana has also seen changes that she's made in many girls' lives and has spoken on empowering panels, working with Los Angeles Long Beach Police Department, and more than that, schools pretty much across the nation, because I know in prior dialogue with her, she has indicated to me that she's also working in New York. And so without further ado, I'd like to introduce Miss Kiana Moore. And do you have any opening remarks you'd like to share with our audience?
Hi, everyone. My name is Kiana Monroe, and I'm excited to be here. I'm honored to be able to, you know, give the audience just some tips and tools and information that they can apply in their day-to-day life, encourage and inspire them.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, certainly it's a delight and a pleasure to have you on the show. We know that it's very important, your work and your body of work that you have embraced for as many years as you have. And so we'd like to basically jump into some of the questions that I have for you today and basically kind of cut to the chase. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. All right. So, Kiana, if you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners basically some of the successful qualities and why you identify them as important in your life. You know, earlier I mentioned empathy, compassion, patience, mental and emotional stability. But I know that as you have endured a lot of your triumphs and successes coming from where you started and dealing with the things that you've dealt with personally, and then your growth and starting your nonprofit, could you describe to some of our listening audience what are some of the important qualities of success for you?
I would say important qualities of success would be, number one, to believe in yourself and bet on yourself. Kind of not wait for somebody to kind of get on board with your dreams and what you want to do. I'd say it's important to write things down. One of the key things for me is visualization, and I try to live in the outcome that I want, the desired outcome that I want. Brace yourself. Understand that there are steps along the way, you're going to make some mistakes, but mistakes are meant to be made so that you can learn from them. I knew absolutely nothing about the nonprofit world. As you mentioned, I come from a television background and network, working with ESPN, HBO, and NBC Universal. So me taking a leap of faith and kind of jumping right in, I had to understand my why. Make sure you understand that. Just, you know, to backtrack, know your why, assess the problems that's out there, know your gift, and be the solution to the change that you want to see in whatever market or whatever field that may be. Understand that you have something to offer and you're going to learn along the way. And don't wait for anybody to approve of it. Just go ahead and do it. And again, you'll learn along the way. I learned along the way, you know, hiccups along the road, but I believed in myself. And a lot of times people will believe in you if you believe in you.
Right, right. Very well stated, very well stated. So I like to kind of just go back in history, because you touched on so many invaluable points there. I think I jotted down like about 7. You know, can you take us back to like that period of time in your journey where, you know, prior to starting your quest towards the nonprofit, I believe you were working for NBC Universal. And so what were some of the driving factors that were enabling for you to be able to leave Universal or NBC Universal and jump into the nonprofit?
Well, number one, I'm a mother. So working and being involved with the school system and other kids because of, you know, my own child has always been a necessity and a priority for me. There was a good balance at work, but one thing I began to notice is that the things that I was a part of with television, I didn't feel like my gift in full sense was being used. I didn't feel as though my voice was being used the way I wanted it to be. I felt like I had more to say, but I was limited, not because they took my voice from me, but it's television and entertainment. And going to the school, I felt I want to say that there was a lot more joy working around the kids and working with students. And it was more fulfilling that I had that voice and the outpouring of that voice to children. And I looked at it as though I'm actually making a better change when I'm with the children versus being behind the camera at a television network.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, from a standpoint of filling, as most people would say, or should I say, as I would say, that fulfillment of joy sometimes outweighs the overall monetization or the role or the title that you may have within some of these corporations, because you can still be a CEO and very much have a very empty heart if you're not living fulfilled. In the capacity of enjoying what you do and having a passion that motivates you to kind of get out of bed every morning and be able to live life. Not speaking from things of the past, but certainly I've endured those type of situations myself at different, you know, points in my life where things were just not, as you said, you know, not necessarily fulfilling me the way that I would have wanted them to fulfill me. And a good example of that is when I was working in corporate America in the microelectronics industry and wanting to get out because I really wanted to strive to do my own thing. And, you know, I had to figure out how do I do that? You know, how do I move forward without having business experience and so forth and so on? And so I can relate to some of the things that you've talked about as far as learning on the way and, you know, taking risk, understanding your why. I mean, those things are certainly all relatable. And you have to have the right, and I think you and I talked about this, and at least I heard you talk about this before on one of your webinars, is the mindset, you know, and I think that that's important. Also is how you calibrate yourself to be able to achieve these things, because you're always going to have naysayers and you're going to have people that are trying to pull you back into the tranche of things that basically you really don't want to do or that you're aspiring to move away from. But in the same notion, you've got to have that mindset to know that you will overcome. So that's very interesting. You know, I think that's there's a lot of similarities there with regards to your kind of transition, as well as some of the things that I've experienced there in life. Mm-hmm. So as you stated, you know, there wasn't a push out the door, you know, with NBC, Universal saying, "Hey, Keanu, get out." There wasn't any type of situation that drove you away. This was all just based on you having a conscious choice of, like you said, you were just trying to fulfill, you know, something that you felt that was missing from your life. Is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. There was no push out. And I realized it was time to do it when I used I would try to find as many ways as possible to do the lather. I would use up my vacation time, my sick leave, to find ways to get out and teach kids. And mm-hmm. that let me know, you know, if I'm sneaking out to find time to do this, it's more fulfilling. Maybe it's time to go ahead and take the leap of faith and go for it.
Right. Well, I completely understand. So when you took that leap, you know, I guess just from my own understanding, as well as the listening audience understanding, you left NBC Universal, and like you said, you didn't have a lot of experience of starting up a nonprofit, and you didn't have the wherewithal to kind of figure out, you know, how to move this forward. So what resources did you tap into? What type of educational knowledge were you able to glean from in order to kind of help you through the uncharted waters that you were unfamiliar with?
Well, the benefit was me being in television. You know, I met a lot of people, a lot of celebrities who were philanthropists, and they did a lot of work with nonprofits. So just with the connections that I had and networking, I am a part of the Los Angeles Spelman Alumni Association, because, you know, I graduated from Spelman and I also graduated with my master's at USC. So I used my USC, you know, alum association to try to see if I can get any support and see who out there was doing what I was doing or was connected with the work that I wanted to do. I didn't start off as a nonprofit. I left and I started volunteering. I started showing up, and kind of word got around from one school, which I started at my son's school, which was middle school at the time. Uh-huh. And word got out of what I was doing as an after school program. And then it got bigger and bigger. And thank God I had a lot of support, again, from the network and from the alumni associations that I was a part of, that I was able to put a board together and we created, you know, the nonprofit. It was just a tip that someone said, maybe you should do this as a nonprofit so that you can get help, so that you can get more support, so that you can make a bigger impact. So I, you know, Google and me, we became very close and I figured out what are the steps to starting a nonprofit. Never let anybody say it takes a brain scholar to figure it out, because we have the internet, we have Google. It really is searching for it. If you really want it, you will find a way. So I found a way and I did the work and I figured it out, and then boom, we are lo and behold a nonprofit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you know, we'll fast track. You discovered basically the Pretty to Me nonprofit organization, and I'm assuming, you know, I've done a little bit of research about the nonprofit that you started, but that was kind of started under 501(c)(3), or if I'm not mistaken, or what? How are you structured in the context of the organization being able to have the right outreach in the community?
We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So we approve of getting corporate sponsorships and grants. And we get grants from the city. And we collaborate with other organizations such as the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, 100 Black Men, 100 Black Women, so on and so forth. With that being said, we also, because we're a 501c3 approved nonprofit, that opens the door for corporate sponsorships. So we sent out some letters and we started getting great feedback with Wells Fargo and Dove and Whole Foods, American Heart Association, and just getting involved with corporations that want to support the work that we're doing in these communities with young people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just amazing. Very, very, very commendable. So, obviously, we understand your purpose. We understand your fulfillment and joy in working with children and kids and how you kind of that evolution begun for you, you know, after you left NBC Universal. So with regards to as we talk about purpose and basically how things became a renewed focus for you, you know, we're kind of in this, we're in this trying time right now, and I know we're not going to go into a lot of detail about this, but since we're into this trying time right now, with regards to your nonprofit organization and everything that's going on with, you know, the pandemic, the social uprising, and just the wherewithal of what's going on in the economy and so forth and so on. I mean, kids are exposed. I mean, they're exposed probably more greatly now today than you and I ever were. And I'm not trying to tout your age, but for me, I'm almost 50. And, you know, I know back in the early 70s, we didn't even have anything remotely close to a cell phone that we could, you know, connect to the internet or anything like that. But my question to you is how are you trying to continue your nonprofit teachings and education in the wake of everything that's going on? Are there things that maybe you could share with some parents that may be listening to this that you're obviously communicating in your own organization as to how kids are dealing with this type of uprising?
Well, yeah, I do the one-on-one counseling with the Pretty to Me Foundation. And then, you know, as you know, I'm also the founder of Life Matters Globally, which is really the adult version of Pretty to Me. Mm-hmm. And really what we're trying to get the kids to understand is how to process what they're experiencing, how to not suppress what they're experiencing, and how to vocalize their emotion. Mm-hmm. And teaching them cognitive coping strategies to process and deal with their feelings and how to move forward. Same thing with the adults. The best thing I try to tell my parents and other adults that I counsel is to be open to the communication, initiate communication with your kids and allow your kids to see that, you know, they're not alone in their feelings and that you feel it too. Sometimes with parents and kids, the parents want to appear strong and the kids feel like, you know, they're not able to really talk to their parents about certain situations and things that they may be feeling in regards to what's going on in the world. Yes, children have access to everything, and trying to teach them how to apply emotional intelligence and understanding the mindset and their perception in regards to the life events that are happening, because that affects their feelings, which ultimately affects their behaviors, which, as you know, affects their academics. Same thing with the parents and the adults. So seeing it, communicating with each other, being honest, being vulnerable, being compassionate with your kids is very, very helpful. And just getting them to write it down so that they don't suppress. If they suppress, then it turns into built up emotions, which will overall explode in the long run because they don't really know how to get it out. I highly encourage therapy. We have to normalize therapy and counseling for ourselves and also for our children, because we can't think that we can do it all ourselves. I believe that we're strong alone, but we're stronger together. And yeah, and for children to see that, you know, it's not easy for my mom and dad either. It's not easy for my parents, but you know, I can learn how to get through life because my parents are getting through it too. They're not strong all the time. And it's a good balance to allow your children to see you that way so that they understand that they're not alone with feeling uncertain. They're not alone with not knowing the outcome. And that's a great bond to have with mm-hmm. your kids. And I do it with mine, you know, all the time. We have like a, what I like to call like a round table. And I do like a temperature check or, you know, just a check-in to see, you know, where are we mentally, emotionally today? Do you feel like you can tackle on the world? Are you digesting too much negativity on social media, you know, and try to create bonding ways as an outlet that has nothing to do with what's going on in the world so that they have a break mentally and emotionally from everything that's going on in the world.
Very well stated. Very well stated. I mean, we're certainly in a different time. You know, I was just sitting there trying to be a sponge, listening to all of the great content that you were providing because, you know, as you talked about how you are with your kids today, you know, if I was to take that back, you know, like I said, I'm almost 50, but if I was to take that back 40 years and look at where I was, you know, as a 10-year-old, you know, living in the deep South, you know, I'm saying to myself, yeah, my parents were there. They always provided, you know, there was all that love and unconditional. And then, you know, we had a lot of what you call the water cooler, just based on the fact of family gatherings and people mm-hmm. wanting to get together and talk and really understand how you're doing, you know. But when it comes to certain things that I see that are happening today versus what were happening in the past, you know, in some instances, things were kind of not really talked about in the past to where we're trying to bring them full circle today. But like you said, I mean, there's kind of a little bit of a contrast because those that have grown up that are parents that grew up in the 60s and the 70s now are still having that kind of that contrast between, well, this is how I was brought up. And they're really trying to bridge the gap with their kids, you know, and understanding that, you know, I've got to be more I got to provide more communication. I got to be more engaged. I have to do this. I have to do that because the kids are involved with more. You know, I look at my two daughters now. They're, should I say, two young, beautiful women that are getting ready to go off. Well, one's in college and one's getting ready to go off to college. You know, I struggle with that as a parent, you know, because in my line of work, I was always on the road and trying to maintain that communication and mm-hmm. ensuring to them that, you know, I'm there for them and all this. It was tough. It was tough. So I know as a father, it hurt, you know, not to be there, you know, in all of those little instances, you know, showing up for their dance recitals or being there for their soccer games. And, you know, you're on the road, you're trying to make money and things like that. But, you know, you've brought up some very valid points. And I think they're more important today as we see society trying to hit a reset button on not only the Black community, but all its wrongdoings as to how we can all collectively come together in some type of sense of harmony to be able to put us at peace as we co-mingle and cohabitate with one another, you know, when we go forward in life. Because I think that's also important too as well.
Yeah, I agree. I concur highly.
Yeah, yeah. So could you, like, you know, with everything you've talked about, and I mean, I wish I had like another notepad here. I got like a notepad. It's kind of funny because, you know, I knew this was going to be great, but man, this is really good. I'm getting just as much information out of this as probably my listeners. But with regards to let's say words of encouragement, and then we'll jump into some takeaways here in just a moment. But words of encouragement. So when people are trying to figure out how to deal with transitional circumstances, and I think you understand that transitional circumstance probably just as well as I do, because we share kind of a similar walk of life from leaving a good job and then walking into our own situation. You chimed in on about seven of those that I was able to capture, but you know, what type of words of encouragement would you consider for those, as I'm going to call it, first step listeners? Because they're probably sitting on the fence right now, and they're going, oh my God, I'm really wanting to stop doing what I'm doing. Or maybe they're sitting on the fence right now because of COVID-19, and they're saying, will I have a job? Will my company call me back? What am I going to do to make ends meet? What type of words of encouragement would you provide to those type of people?
I would say, don't worry, number one. I know it's can be easier said than done. But to worry means that you don't trust that things are going to be okay, that you don't believe that God is going to take care of things for you. So it's okay to be concerned, but don't worry. Mm-hmm. And don't operate in fear. I would say to reimagine and replan what it is that you want to do. If the idea of, if your first idea, I mean, nobody expected 2020 to be this way, right? At the beginning of the year, we put our vision boards together. We put our 2020 list together of all the things we wanted to do and accomplish. And COVID kind of put a halt to that. And then, as you know, we have all the protests and the riots and the things going on all across the globe. For those who have lost their jobs, or they're not, you know, certain or sure if they're going to have a job to go back to because they're furloughed, or just different things like that, I would say reimagine your plan. Uh-huh. Reimagine your plan and write that down. Uh-huh. Within the next 6 months, when things start opening back up, how do you want that to look? Start writing that down. Uh-huh. If you had an idea of wanting to start your own business, this is the time to take your leap. Uh-huh. This is the time to see, what are the steps that I can take to invest in myself? If I believe that I could have done better with my finances, what are the steps that I can take? Right now is not the time to beat yourself up. Right now is not the time to have negative self-talk. Uh-huh. Because that is not going to do anything but hinder your progress and your effort towards yourself. Uh-huh. Right? Uh-huh. Lean into family. See what you have. Show gratitude for that. And then work on the next steps. If you go back to work, what is that going to look like for you? If you're not going to go back to work and something changes, what are your next steps? Do you need to redo your resume? Mm-hmm. Do you need to figure out, do I want to be an entrepreneur? But don't worry. Life is not over for you. You're still alive. You still have a lot to be grateful for. This is the best time, like I've told a lot of people, you know, take a step back and see, with like self-reflecting and assessing where you are, where are the areas in my life that I have control over? We can't focus on the things that we have no control over, right? And we can't stress over things that we don't have control over. But we can focus on what we do have control over. And take a step back and say, where in my life have I been lacking? What can I do right now to change my situation? What am I capable of doing right now that can support my mental health, emotional health, physical health? Because a lot of people don't pay attention to the physical health, which they're doing that now because of COVID. Uh-huh. They're realizing, oh, you know what? I didn't put my physical health as a priority. Uh-huh. Look at where you lacked priority for yourself. And then let's work on that. Let's take some steps to kind of work on that during the downtime that you have. Again, if you want to start a new job and start a new career as an entrepreneur, this is the time. Let's work on that. Mm-hmm. If there are some things that you wanted to do in regards to your family, spend more quality time. Let's work on that. Mm-hmm. But stressing is definitely not the way. I again encourage to normalize therapy, normalize effective communication in your family. Make sure to check in with other people, your family, because right now we're all isolated. That's not something that we're used to. You know, even the introverts are kind of complaining, like, you know, wow, I like to be alone, but not like this. So This is the time to say, I can check on my family more. I can check on people that I care about more. You know, find healthier ways of doing things. Along with the pandemic, you have things going on with social injustice. Don't beat yourself up. If you're not protesting right now, I hear a lot of my clients saying, you know, I don't want to really go out and be on the front lines and protest. So I feel bad. Don't feel bad. Don't allow that negative self-talk. Do what you feel you can do to support the movement. And there are tons of ways to do that. There's donating money. There's offering services. What kind of services do you have? Even if you allow yourself to encourage other people via social media, use it for that. Use it to uplift the people who are actually out there going. You have a gift. I don't want any of these listeners to feel like life is over and, you know, their life is at an abrupt halt and there's no possibilities for them, because that's not the case. Dig in. Look at what you can do and start writing things down and reimagining how you want the rest of your year to go. That is in your control to do.
Right, right. Wow. Wow. That was amazing. Absolutely amazing. From my perspective, I'm speechless. You've chimed on some things that, even as a little kid, you know, growing up, you know, in the deep South, you know, believe in yourself, you know, visualizing and writing it down. And I don't know, you know, as far as how things were when you're a little kid going to school, but I remember in school, I would get like, you know, hand slapped by a ruler, by a teacher saying, you need to write it down. And so as you're talking about writing it down, you know, it's like these flashes of, you know, how important it is to write things down and how important it is to kind of help you have that visualization as you go forward. And I think the other points that you've mentioned throughout this dialogue, as far as bracing yourself, understanding your why, looking at your outcome, you know, as far as your solution, you know, understanding what you have to offer, those are all so, so important. And certainly this has been an honor. This has been an honor to have you on board.
Thank you.
To be able to talk with you. I know that, I was being Greg Proctor, being persistent, trying to get you, you know, as to be a special guest. And I'm glad I did, because, I mean, this came out amazing. I mean, you know, this week has been such an honor for me, and I'm just going to segue just a little bit. It's been such an honor for me and probably to my listeners. They know how important it is for me to connect with my special guests. And I like to connect with my special guests because I like the dialogue to flow in such a way that it feels like, you know, you're really engaged and gaining from the conversation. And today's conversation, I felt that way. Yesterday's conversation I had with Miss Madeline Black was exactly the same way. So, you know, I'm honored to meet all of these wonderful people in my life right now, you know, influencers and authors and publishers and doctors and so forth. It's just a blessing, because to me, like you said, brace yourself, take risks. Well, I took a risk to start this podcast almost 3 months ago, and look at where it is today. I mean, it's just crazy. But Kiana, you know, without me keeping, you know, us with all of my excitement from talking with you, I would like to ask if you have any closing remarks before we wrap up.
I do. I want to I want to encourage people to be kind to themselves and be patient with themselves. And not only being patient with yourself, but being patient with others. In the Bible, it says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you can't give anyone something that you're not giving to yourself. As the shift is going on into the in the world that we're living in right now, we have to be patient with the process that we're in, but we also have to have the same understanding and compassion, as hard as it can be, to have patience with other people in their process. Other people are unlearning a lot of conditioned programming that they've had over decades of their life. You know, they have had the curtain pulled back and they've been looking at life with rose-colored glasses and they've been taken off. And so now they have to relearn a new way of behaving, relearn a new way of thinking. And that's going to be in our school systems. That's going to be in our government. That's going to be on the corporate side at work as well. And so that's a change for us as well. We have to be there while other people are learning. And we have to relearn as well. And I say it's so important to treat other people the way you want to be treated. And you teach people how to treat you by how you treat yourself, how we treat ourselves, and mirror that, you know, into the world, and understand that people are going to make mistakes along the way, just like we do. Same thing with our children. This is a process for them too. Be patient as they are learning and unlearning a lot of things that are going on, you know, in the world today. And that's all you can do. Do your best, be patient, and be compassionate with yourself, and mirror that to other people, and you'll be okay. And you're not alone. You're not alone.
Yeah, totally agree. So before we wrap up, you know, I know we mentioned the Pretty to Me nonprofit organization, and it wouldn't do me proper justice to basically not allow for my listening audience to understand how could they reach out to the nonprofit for maybe donations. Is there a website or something that you would want to share to the listening audience as far as the Pretty to Me nonprofit organization?
Yes, I would say if you want to donate or if you want to volunteer or support, then reach out to www.prettytome.org. That's the number two, pretty, the number two, me.org. And go ahead and subscribe to our email. You can donate if you'd like. You can support students' therapy sessions, or even buy some books for them that teach emotional intelligence and ethical leadership and compassion, because they learn at all ages. For adults, if you feel like you want to get involved in therapy as well, by all means, reach out for therapy. You can email me at p2m_lyf@yahoo.com. Let's do this together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Kiana, I certainly appreciate it. And to my listening audience, this is Greg Proctor, episode 13, The Qualities to Success. We'd like to once again thank our special guest, Miss Kiana Monroe. And this has been a pleasure. Thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. I'd like to say, everybody, goodbye. Absolutely. Absolutely. Be safe out there, people. We know it's a difficult time, and God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.